It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In John chapter 6, the Jews wanted to see something from Jesus. Now, they had experienced the feeding of the 5,000. They had followed Jesus to Capernaum. But notice, and we go back a few verses here, and in verse 30, they said, "Therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Well, Jesus uses this opportunity to present the true bread of life. He is the bread of life. Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." Manna was simply a representation of the true bread. The true bread of life is Jesus Christ. And Jesus goes on to tell them, and Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." These people had seen Jesus feed. They were part, evidently, of the feeding of the 5,000. They partook of that. And they were bread followers. In other words, they were looking for a handout. They wanted to see Jesus do some more miracles there. Again, Jesus said, Moses didn't give you that bread that came down from heaven. Your fathers didn't give them that bread, that manna from heaven. God the Father gave you the bread. And now Jesus goes on to say that he is the bread. Now, we go to verse 50. Let's back up. And verse 48, Jesus said, "I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead." Now, the manna came down from heaven to sustain the physical life of the Israelites who were going through the wilderness. They ate the physical bread and they died, Jesus said in verse 49. In verse 50, Jesus said, "This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." Now, he goes from the physical food to the food that he offers them, eternal life, that they would never die. If they partook of what Jesus is offering them now, they would never die. They would have eternal life. And he said, "I am that bread of life." He's presenting himself here as the true Son of God, as the true Savior who was willing to save them. He was not going to keep them alive physically as such. They could not eat his body as such, but he was offering them the true bread. And he is the Savior of the world. He is the bread of life. Verse 51 says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Now, what was Jesus speaking of here? He's telling them he came from heaven. He came from God the Father, and that he is the bread of life. And if anyone would partake of the bread of life, they would live forever. And then he goes on to say, the bread that I will give is my flesh. Well, what did he give? He gave his life on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood that you and I and the people of this world could be saved. And he's telling these Jews that. He's telling them that, in essence, quit looking at the physical and start looking at the spiritual part of this. Start looking to the fact that you're going to live somewhere forever. And when I say live somewhere forever, the people who go to hell are going to be the living dead. They're not going to be alive as we think, but they are going to suffer. Now, they will be alive in the sense that they will suffer. They will feel pain, but it's the walking dead. It's the same as being dead, but they're alive. And that's hard to understand, but that's exactly what the Bible teaches us, that they will suffer forever and forever. So you and I, saved people, we need to get busy And we need to let people know about Jesus Christ, the living bread. Let people know that he's willing to take them and save them. Well, Jesus said that he would give up his flesh. He's going to give his flesh. He would give his flesh later on the cross of Calvary. And once again, that verse in verse 51 says, which I will give for the life of this world. He would lay down his life for the people of this world so that they would be able to go to heaven one day and live throughout all eternity in the bliss that God has offered to everyone in this life. Verse 52 says, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? We've got people today who say the same thing, but they actually think they're eating the flesh of Christ when they take what we call communion or the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table. These people today will eat the bread, the wafer that is offered to them, and they actually think that that bread is actually the flesh of Jesus Christ. And then they actually drink the cup, the wine. They use wine and they will drink the wine, and they call that the blood of Christ. They think it's actually the blood of Christ. Well, I've said this before, maybe I've said it during this study, that Jesus must have been a cannibal, because when he instituted the Lord's Supper back in the upper room, the Bible tells us that he partook of that food that he passed around. He partook of the bread, which these people today will tell you is his flesh. He partook of the cup. He drank from the cup. And the people, to some people today, will tell you that is the blood of Christ. Well, Christ must have been a cannibal. He was eating his own flesh. He was drinking his own blood. And that's ridiculous. Today, I've told one person, at least, and many more than that, that if you kind of stick your finger and you see a little bit of blood there, have you ever kind of kissed that to kind of stop the bleeding or whatever? And that sounds gross to me. But has a person ever done that? And I've asked a person that, and I said, did it taste like blood? And, well, of course, it's blood. Well, then what did the cup taste like when you drank it? Was it blood or was it simply wine? Was it juice that you tasted? Was it actually the blood of Christ? And how simple it is to start thinking that that cup is that people take today is not the actual blood of Christ. It's not the wafer, the bread is not the actual flesh of Christ, but it's a representation that we do in honor of him. And the Bible says as often as we partake of the Lord's table, that we do show his death till he comes. And when we do that, that brings us comfort because we know he's coming again. The Bible says as often as we do that, partake of the Lord's table, that we do show his death till he comes. And I'm looking for him. One of these days, prayerfully, I will not give up the breath of life before Jesus comes back and says, come up hither, and I go to be with him in the clouds. But if that doesn't happen and the breath of life leaves my body, I have confidence knowing that the moment that the breath leaves this body, the moment that I die physically, that I will go to be with the Lord forever. We might compare that to the rapture of the church, because when I die, I'm going to be with the Lord immediately. The Bible teaches us that we don't have to worry about death. We don't have to worry about the future, because one way or the other, we're going to be with the Lord. And that is those of us who have trusted him. Well, let me read verse 51 of John 6 once again. It says, Jesus speaking, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Speaking of himself, if anyone wants to partake of what he offers, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus Christ would lay down his life for the people of this world so that they could have eternal life. In verse 52, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye shall have no life in you. Jesus goes on in verse 54, and he says, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Well, there's that term again that we saw in verse 39, where Jesus said, raise up again at the last day. And once again, I believe that as we look at this, we can see different areas of truth here. And I believe that when this body gives up the breath of life, the last day on this earth, we go to be with the Lord, those of us who are saved. Verse 55 of John 6 says, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. When we get saved, we feast upon the Word of God. Jesus said in John chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we keep reading, we find out who the Word really is. And you keep reading, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And this is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came into this world. He gave His life as the Word of God. He is the Word of God. He became flesh and dwelt among us. He gave His life, and He gave His flesh on the cross of Calvary. And He said, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I believe the last day on this earth, people will be raised. Those who have trusted Him as Lord and Savior, they will be raised incorruptible. He's not going to lose anyone who comes to Him in faith, believing and trusting Him as Savior. Verse 55, Jesus says, for my flesh is meat, in other words, food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And as I started to say a few moments ago, when we get saved, we get into the Word of God, and the Word of God feeds us. We grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we study His Word, the Word becomes real to us. Jesus Christ becomes more real as we get into the Word and we study His book. And I remind you again that I use the King James Bible. I believe that it is the Word of God. It not only contains the Word of God, it is the Word of God. It is one complete book from cover to cover. It is God's Word to man today. And we need to look at that, and we need to study His Word. I believe the King James Bible. When we get into the book, we grow thereby, because it is our food. It is our spiritual food that we grow daily as we study and we read the Word of God. We also need to pray. Pray and ask God to open our minds and our hearts to the things that He has for us in His Word. And I remind you once again that the Bible says that we have the Spirit of God within us. And those of us who have trusted Him as Savior, we have the Holy Spirit within us. And that Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will guide us into all truth. And that means that as we get into the Word of God, He's going to guide us. And He's going to help us to understand the Word of God. Now, we're not going to understand everything, but we're going to have the knowledge that God wants us to give, wants to give us at that time. And that's the reason it says we grow thereby. We don't learn it all at once. We don't take a newborn baby and force that baby to eat, force too much down that baby. We don't give that baby steak too soon. Later on, that baby will eat steak, or that will become a person who is able to eat meat, able to eat steak. But God lets us grow in His grace and knowledge. He doesn't give it to us all at once. We grow in His grace and knowledge. Know Him today as Savior and serve Him until He comes.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.